Hey, everybody, it's Scott Brennan, and it's a beautiful day to be alive, and you are tuned into a wild episode of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. I will get to that in just a minute, but I want to tell you about some of the awesome sponsors we're lucky enough to have on this show, people we believe in, companies we believe in, and it creates an awesome opportunity to collaborate on different things. So here we go. Susan Robb is a woman out of Toronto, Canada, who lives out her mission to inspire others. She's a client partner for the Center for Leadership Studies. She works with Paul Templer, who was a hippo attack survivor that was on the podcast twice. He's a philanthropist, a motivational speaker, and they got a really good cause going on that they need your help with. Go to their GoFundMe page. It's called Aaron's Light. It's a 501c3 and a tax write-up. All proceeds go to third world type countries to support inclusion for kids with disabilities, food, and the right to get an education, which only costs $5 a year. To help the cause, email Susan at paultempler.com. Susan's great. She gets us a lot of gas. If you listen to Muffy Bennett last week, that was one of hers. And all along the way, there's different ones. We are also fortunate enough to have three awesome brewery sponsors on this podcast. Demented Brewing, I was just there this weekend with my buddies. It's just a great time. They're always releasing new things in the tap room. Every Sunday, there's something different. They just released Vulcan, which is their Mango Habanero IPA, on draft in the tasting room. This Sunday, they're going to be releasing an all-new American barley wine. Their anniversary party is going to be on Saturday, August 13th. They're going to be featuring a brewery-exclusive double dry-hopped Kiwi IPA can release, Sucker Punch bottle release, and an anniversary beer and cask live music and barbecue by the Oink and Moo. So go give Demented Brewing a like on Facebook. Go check them out. Take a ride there. Located right in Middlesex, New Jersey. Now, Manskirt Brewing. Okay, Manskirt Brewing is located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. So you're up in the northwest area, make sure you stop by. It's located in the old bank building on Main Street. They just released two awesome IPAs, Imperial Progress, an 8% Imperial IPA made with British Progress hops, and Germaniacal, a 6% IPA made with German grain and hops. Both are deceptively easy to drink with low but style-appropriate bitterness and tons of flavor. They got a lot of events going on, open mic nights. Go check out Manskirt Brewing. Now, I'm very excited. This Saturday, I will be going up to the Adirondacks up by Lake George, and I am surely stomping at our good friends at Adirondack Brewery, right in Lake George, right there on Canada Street. One of my favorite places to go grab something to eat and grab a pint. Their seasonally favorite New York State Oktoberfest is now on tap at the pub, and they'll be hitting the market in six-pack soon. Their Oktoberfest is brewed with 100% New York State malt and hops and delivered lightly sweet bread characteristics that pair just as well with a warm August evening as they do in the cool October days. Also, the Adirondack Oktoberfest season website is now live. Check out information on both the Lake George Village Oktoberfest as well as the Adirondack Brewery Oktoberfest. And all the proceeds go to charity. It's one of my favorite events. They got like keg tossing competitions, stein holding competitions. It is always a good time. So go check them out at www.lakegeorgeoktoberfest.com. That is the Adirondack Brewery. Finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Each week we host trivia all over the state of New Jersey. I host a Tap House 15 every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. You can win prizes to New Jersey craft breweries. You can win prizes to specific restaurants, and it's just a really good time. Even if you're in last place, you can still win a prize. There's bonus items every week, so follow Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Okay, so this week, my all-time favorite baseball player, he just released a book called The House of Nails. Lenny Dykstra joins us on the podcast in a wild interview. Lenny holds nothing back. Let's put it that way. Lenny is a unique man who speaks his mind. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. So, a very special episode. Without further ado, here's Lenny Dykstra. Enjoy the podcast.
Hey, this is Lenny Dykstra, and you've been listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun. Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey. See, that's new, Mike. That's new.
Okay.
I like to play the music in the actual recording, so I have to get to do less editing.
See, I was going to say something, but usually when it brings something up, you're like, Berlo, that's like editing. Don't bring up this stuff.
See, I play it now at the beginning so I don't have to edit in the song or adjust the volume. So it's one less thing I have to do.
All right. Audience, I acknowledge what just occurred.
But Mike Berlo, welcome back. It's good to be back in the saddle.
Mm-hmm. What's it been, 3 weeks?
I can't even keep track because last week you missed.
Yeah.
And then
we'll get into that.
And then the week before,
I think we had trouble. Somebody canceled at the last minute and we put up.
Was that the week before or was there one in between there?
I thought we put up the one. All right, let's see.
Last week was Zach Holmes.
As you can tell,
No, you were here the week before for Tom Verney.
Oh, okay.
How dare you? How dare you?
And Dave Meltzer.
Yeah. Yeah, and then before that was the I Did Then show.
Ah.
But welcome back, everybody, to another episode 160 of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
Ooh, nice round number.
And climbing closer and closer to that oh-so-illustrious 200.
Yeah, I mean, when the Podcast Hall of Fame finds out about how many starts we have, we're bound to go in there.
Yeah. Yeah, don't expect anything special or unique. Or it's going to be status quo.
I say we swerve them.
But, yeah, I mean, but then again, if you think about it, episode 160 to 200, that's like a year almost. That's 40 weeks.
40 weeks, yeah.
200 seems a lot closer than, But anyway, it's good to be back. The numbers are up. I'm happy about that. And there's Obi making himself known. Here, Berlo, carry the podcast.
All right. I'm here on the podcast here as Scott is taking care of his dog. We're here taped in Denville, New Jersey. The lovely sights of the very humid lake and mosquito-ridden waters outside of Scott's door, and Scott is returning, so I guess I can stop.
Oh, no, keep going.
Oh.
Wait, did you say the humid lake?
Yeah, it's humid.
So the actual water in the lake is humid?
Yeah, it added moisture somehow, the water in the lake.
I'm just going to start leaving you on your own for episodes at a time.
Berlo, I'm going to be right back from the bathroom, come back like 50 minutes later. Q-tips is a thing.
Well, somewhere in the Lost Archives is probably deleted or on a memory chip somewhere is your
solo episode.
Your solo episode where I walked by occasionally and you were like talking about towels and then
towels,
somehow you were talking like 9/11.
Bulgaria. 9/11, Discover card.
Yeah. But so
we'll give you a prize if you figure out the whole story.
So I was just me and Alex went down to check out my niece was in a little swim meet down the road.
Oh,
we were just checking her swim.
Is it like an actual competition?
Yeah. All the lakes around here have like their own little swim leagues or swim teams, so they all get together and have meets. There's a lot of people there. A lot of people. But
is she like the Conor McGregor of the swim meets?
I'll bounce your head off the ley line. Kira, stop.
Nobody can swim like me.
But it was packed and there's nowhere to park, so I parked up on this dirt like embankment with the windows open. And we go and watch two races and then come back to come do the podcast. And
how long are they? Like 100 meters?
25 meters, most of them. Some of the older kids are 50 meters.
Gotcha.
And then some of the real younger kids basically just like drown halfway and then just keep continuing.
Yeah, it'd be really cool if like Michael Phelps put on like a little wig and he's like, I can't get out of it, man. I need more gold.
They're like little kids, some of them like do backstroke, and it really looks like they're just just the difference between drowning and like that last stroke is, you know. But we park on this embankment thing, and I had the windows open, and I get back in the car, and I like have to pull out to let Alex in, and she sits down, and all of a sudden she's like, ow, ow, ow. I'm like, what? And she's like, there's these little pricker things. They're in my ass. So I'm like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So I look over and there are these like, I don't know, they look like little branches or little like little
stickers.
Prickers. Yeah.
That's what
and she's like, oh, and I'm driving and she's like, like she looks like the woman from The Exorcist, like on the front seat, and she's trying to stand. And I'm like, "What are you doing? We can't stand." And then she's sitting on the console, and I can't drive. And I'm like,
because that's what it's meant for, yep. You know. If you get stickers in your ass, you sit on the console, very safe.
And so we have to. I'm like, "All right." She's like, "Stop! Stop! Stop!" And she gets out. And I stop at a stop sign, and there's like three or four cars behind me now. Mm-hmm. And she's like out there, like trying to pick stickers out of her ass, like just like little tiny sticker things. And you get
people
out
are
in the car,
honking their horns and all, move it.
And then
I got stickers in my ass.
And then she has to sit in the back seat of my car on the way home, like with her ass hovering above the seat. And she's like, "Oh man, I just washed these shorts. They're in my underwear. Like this is ridiculous." So I was like. I was laughing the whole way. She's like, "I'm glad you think it's funny." I'm like, "How would you think? Would you be laughing if I had prickers in my ass and I was driving?" She's like, "Well, yeah. Good point." You know?
Yeah, that's not fair. I see Hanes making like a sticker-proof underwear.
Like it's got a few, like a
little
like,
extra padding in the
like
back.
Like chainmail on the back.
Yeah. Like Victoria's Secret had to make the sexy one, you know?
Mm, well, maybe you're onto something. Oh. Burlew's sticker-proof undies. Buy now and get a bottle of snake milk.
I know I ain't been in them. I'm wearing them. Backwards.
I'm not only a member, but I'm a customer too.
You see me testing it, like jumping into sticker bushes back first. This pair didn't work so well.
Well, should we get to our guest, I guess?
I think we should.
All right. So, Mike Burlew.
Yes, Scott Burnett.
Long ago, in the early days of Verbal Shenanigans, it's like the folklore of Verbal Shenanigans for all our like three fans mm-hmm. that listen from the beginning.
We have a LARPing history. It's a part of that. Somebody holds up a stone with a...
Two damage. you remember Sean Kemp.
Uh-huh.
The Rain Man.
Yeah, that was a sad sequence there. I mean, we started on Twitter...
Had him.
Yeah, literally probably the first person you said, "I would love to do," and somehow he instantly go, "Yes." You got to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I was lined up for
really
one
nice
day.
Guy. Talked to me on the phone, was like, really nice. Like, "Oh man, thank you so much. We're going to schedule something," all mm-hmm. that.
And we scheduled a day. I think his kid got
It was
injured.
A Saturday. It was a Saturday, like early.
Yeah, because I remember... There was like some grayness whether it was going to happen or not. I had to go up to New York for the other podcast to do something like that. Came back, was still waiting on him. Mm-hmm. Then what
Didn't
was it?
The first time?
Yeah. Then what was it? A couple months later, he said something about his daughter.
No, the first time, he said that his daughter had hurt her ACL or something like that. Yeah. I'm like, no problem. We'll reschedule. We rescheduled the night of. We're calling and calling and calling, no answers. And then we kind of gave up. I would tweet at him occasionally, send a message occasionally, mm-hmm. like, yeah, no problem. And then it's basically stopped for a while now. Didn't get Sean Kemp. Sean Kemp was my favorite basketball player of all time. He was.
There was also a point where, like, out of the blue, a year later, he's like, we're going to reschedule.
yeah. Just like random bursts. Now, Lenny Dykstra, who... This is kind of cool because this is a guy we both have rooted for at some point in our life.
Two of the most memorable teams, I would say, for both of us. Your 86 World Champions, the 93 Miracle Phillies.
Yep. Lenny Dykstra, one of the lightning bolts of baseball. Oh. And the guy is still in the news 30 years later, making news. Just came out with a book, The House of Nails. Now, I talked to Lenny earlier this afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay. Today turned out good either way.
Yeah. Like
I'm prefacing this. Today turned out good either way because we got a great guest.
Yeah.
That last minute, it was like you threw out a good option that I hadn't thought about in a while. We did that and all that. But so I reached out to Lenny today, and he said he was down. He was on a private jet when I talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give Lenny Dykstra a call right now. Lenny Dykstra from the 86 Mets, who was my favorite player. In fact, I told you, I had a Philly shirt when he got traded. My mom bought me from, like, Kmart or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just said Lenny, and it had him, like, ripping through the shirt. Like Taz. Remember those Taz shirts back in the day? So we're going to call Lenny Dykstra right now, God willing, and get him on the podcast. Here we go, guys.
Hello?
Lenny Dykstra, Scott Brennan from Verbal Shenanigans. How are you?
Hey.
Lenny, what is up, man? Thank you so much for taking this phone call.
Yeah, you hear me good? Yeah.
Yeah, we hear
so
you.
So if I lose you at all, just call me back because I'm on an intersection of heaven and hell. You know where that is?
Somewhat.
Life?
Well, right. Dude, me and you, we're going along good. Right, life. But so sometimes at that intersection, like the phone goes out, but if it does, it's calling right back.
No problem, man.
Verizon should really work on that.
By the way, how do you know it's Verizon? Those motherfuckers, those fuckers. Hey, by the way, they're like the mafia, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they say they give me unlimited data. All they do is jerk me fucking off is all they do.
Me too, dude. Every time me and my friend call Verizon like the new DMV because when you go there, it's a long way, it's miserable, and you always end up spending money somehow, like more money than you ever thought.
When they went to unlimited data, unlimited for like fucking 20 minutes, and they go to 3G, you hit your data fucking line, and they drive me down to like the commoners. Like, now I'm with the commoners again. Ah. I mean, like, those like they actually know I spent like 3 years in a fucking cell, 6x7 cell. So I pissed off this big group, real big group, actually, called the federal government.
I've heard of them. Great band. Hmm. Great band.
Yeah. The 3 meals a day, health insurance, the whole deal. See? Oh, yeah. Dude, room service, everything. Yeah. Yeah, I read my first book there, by the way, too.
Definitely. We're going to get into that in a minute. Yeah. But
the room service, not so good there. I got to be honest.
Actually, kind of bad. You're right. I mean, like at 4 in the morning and drop peanut butter off, it's kind of bad.
But Lenny, I hope you're good to start now, right?
I'm good at it.
All right.
24/7.
All right. Lenny, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes here.
A few minutes. Okay. I don't give anybody 2 minutes. See my fucking chicks. I get them off. I mean, I'm going to get your people off. That's what I do.
Well, get our people off. Yeah. That's
Are you ready?
Let's fucking go.
Lenny, I just want to preface this, and I'm not kissing your ass. I was just telling Mike this story. When I was a kid, I was a diehard Mets fan. I grew up in Jersey. And one of my babysitters, was the 86 Mets video.
Did I fuck her?
Maybe. But you were, like, my favorite player growing up. My mom would always ask me, like, who is your favorite player? I'd be like, Lenny Dykstra. And I would memorize your stats and the stats of the 86 Mets.
Dude.
Here's even how dedicated I was. You got traded to the Phillies. And my mom bought me like a knockoff Philly shirt where you were like ripping through the front of the shirt and it just said Lenny on the front. And I was a diehard Mets fan. So this is a really awesome opportunity. So I want to thank you before we get into it.
That's cool, man. That makes it all worth it, you know, because like when I played, like I was like very serious, and winning and losing meant something to me. It wasn't like a joke, you know? Mm. Like, I see these guys playing now, and they all talk to each other, they're all friends with each other. It's like what? Like, when I was playing, like...
You were enemies.
I set the tone. It was like, we're going to their house, we're going to take their money, and we're going to fuck their women. Period. No, that's it. You talk to the other team we're fighting. Like, what the fuck could you be talking about? They're the enemy. They're trying to take our money. Like, what are you guys talking about? What the fuck? What? Really? So now, like I watch these games. It's a big joke. I don't get it. That's why baseball is calling like laughs and like, you know. As far as people watching games, I mean, yet they're making, you know, the owners are making so much money. They're not stupid. I mean, they pay these guys in their 30s that are done. I mean, I have all the numbers. I have all the fucking percentages. I have everything. And the bottom line is, when you hit 30, I don't care who you are. the numbers show, and I have them all back up, you're going to decline. You're 32, you go straight down. I'm talking about in every category, and that's called the human factor. You can't stop it, okay? And they're giving these players in these contracts, and they're 35. Or, it's a joke. That tells you how much money the owners make, okay?
Yeah.
These new TV contracts or whatever. Because they're billionaires. These guys are all, like, they own these teams because they're, like, smart guys. They're businessmen. Or they're lucky Sperm Club members, whatever, you know? Whatever. Not a bad club to be in, though, you know?
Now, Lenny, like, when you were a kid, was your goal always to get into baseball? Or were you, like, a multi-sport athlete and baseball just kind of found you?
Well, actually, that's a great question. I mean, look, fortunately for me, I grew up in a great family. I mean, I had a mother and a father that worked for the telephone company. And they worked, but made no money. So, like, I had two brothers and three stepsisters. No, I did not fuck my stepsisters, by the way. Right. I just want to be clear on it.
Can that we quote you on that?
We're not talking
about that. Yeah, I did not. Like, right. I don't fuck around with wives, friends, and, like, it always ends bad.
Yeah.
Plus, it's not the thrill of the kill. I like to, like, it's not even the act anymore. It's, like, these words. I can't believe I'm doing this. That's all I need.
Right.
When I hear that, I'm golden. I mean, having to take a nap. I'm older now. I have to take a dick pill. I have to fucking use the process. It's like fucking worse. So, anyways, back on point. So, I had one friend growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One friend. Right. One. You know why?
Why?
I need somebody to play catch with.
That's true. Catch sucks
by
yourself.
I never went to it. No. What I'm saying is I was on a mission of fucking mercy to break out of the fucking middle. Okay, because I saw my mom and dad work their ass off, and like I've split a Bob's Big Boy hammer with my brother.
Right, where'd you grow up, Lenny?
Garden Grove.
Okay,
California, by Angel Stadium. I used to ride my bike to Angel Stadium every night.
Yep, I know a good Sublime song about Garden Grove.
I like that. Hey, he's dead, that guy.
He got
trapped, hooked up in that age, you know.
Yeah,
there's a huge opiate epidemic in this country.
Everywhere.
Which, by the way, I got an unbelievable story about. But there's so many unbelievable stories but they are believable because they're real because 30 lawyers vetted them for me to write my book. Like, they'd have a lawyer say, "No fucking way, no way, that's not true." I say, "Okay," then another lawyer call, and say, "Okay, is that like?" You and Robert De Niro did, like cocaine? No, we didn't. We did Keith Richards, see? You can't call it cocaine around the batting cage. Like, so you have to have a code name. So what's the code name? Well, who better than Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones? He looks like a line of coke, right? I mean, seriously, I'm in St. Bart's, you know, on an island. You know, private island. Hey, I'm on the radio here. So you guys fighting here. Oh. Yeah, they're fighting here. Hey.
Everything okay, Lenny?
Maybe I kick both their asses.
No, don't do that.
Nah.
Do our interview, then go back.
Yeah, I ran them off. Boo! Boo! Yeah, boo. Boo!
That's why you're fucking crying.
That's right. Boo. Sorry.
Here, listen.
This is nuts.
See, this is where I'm at, dude. This is who I am.
Jeez. See?
But you know what, dude?
Where are you? Are you just walking?
I told you, dude. I'm the intersection of heaven and hell. That's why you get, like, good points and down points. See, that was a bad one.
All right.
That was the hell part. Now, heaven will come soon.
Okay. Oh, nice.
But anyways, back on point. So, I got the same bars in the films. The best fucking place you can go to. Money wasn't an issue by then. Bringing in $300,000 a month. I'd be like, really? Every month I'll fail cash. So, there's two presidential suites.
Mm-hmm.
And I got more pussy there than God, by the way. Really? My buddies, and now we're partying. And I see this black chick walk by, like a woman or whatever.
Right.
I say, oh. So, turns out who's next to me is my boy, Daryl. And he can't take it anymore. He sees all the pussy coming in and out. I'm helicoptering shit in, out, you know. And, like, the anxiety to feel fine. He don't, by the way, he don't know who I am. I can tell. He's not a sportsman. So I'm walking one day back with a banana daiquiri. He says...
I love the banana daiquiri.
This
I love
is a great dude. This is... By the way, it's in my book, okay? Because, like, they asked the scenario, like, oh, no, Glenn Dyson said that, you know, you and him did blow together. And he denies it. I said, oh, really? Cool. What a surprise. No, I thought he might say, yeah, me and Nunny, we railed up, man. We hit the Richards. It was great. What the fuck do you think he's going to say?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. So anyways, here we go. So my boy, he says, hey, what do you got in there? I said, what? He's leaving me. Like, I said, it's just a banana daiquiri. He said, you guys look like you're having some fun over there. I said, oh, yeah, trust me, it's fun. Like, I put the F in fun, bro. And he said, like, anyways, long story short, like, I said, you want to go north? You want to go north? I got Richard's hanging out.
Right.
I mean, Richard is in the house. Keith is in the house. He's playing some albums. He says, what? I said, bro, Keith Richards, man.
Do I have to spell it out to you?
No, he didn't get it. No, because no one gets it. I mean, he didn't know anything about baseball. He still don't know who I am. I said, he didn't get it. I said, the white lady, brother. You want to dance with the white lady? Okay. So before I can fucking, like, say, like, he asked me, is any good? Before I can answer, he's got that pinky, you know, like a pro, with a little, like, dabs it with a spoon. Boom, bing, bang. Next thing I know, I'm getting fucking $500 bottles of wine sent to me every night for the next five nights of dinner. $1,000 bottles of wine. Because, see, me and so Richards, see... And my boy Bobby B, he said, call me Bobby. Yeah, Robert. No. I said, call me King C.
King C?
King C, King Cock, yeah.
Oh naturally. Yeah. Naturally.
Yeah, call me King C. So long story short, I said, bro, this is a better way though. So I said, Richards is better at night when you know. During the day, you want to go north, but you don't want that like you want to have a smooth like a private jet, you know, like my Gulfstream. So I'm sure you've flown on them. It's a smooth takeoff, then you level off, and it's smooth. Amphetamines, bro. I got the best. I got the gold. I got the Dexedrine, bro. I said, take this in the morning, Richard. You know, wait, Richard's later. And I said. So, dude, I created a monster, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So my boy Bobby D, he's. Now, next thing I know, like, he sent me like three bottles of wine, okay? And so it's finally time to go after all. Yeah, you should hear, it's certain to have the interview, you know? And helicopter and pussy in and out. And, I mean, by the way, I get a lot of pussy, just so you know.
All right. We'll name the episode that.
Yeah, we will.
No, I do. But
I'm sure.
Remember, it's a different approach now.
Mm-hmm.
See, because I'm going to... Remember, like, back then, I was fucking 29, 30, like a Greek statue. Like, you have $1 million wired to me in fucking 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. Are you serious? Like, now, I'm a finesse player, bro. Okay? So I have to go with, like, different angle. So I sell dreams, see? Because remember, it's the promise of money is much more powerful than the money itself. See?
Right.
Well, think about it. Once they got the money, you're fucked. You got no leverage. You got to have, without no ammo, you got nothing. So, but the promise of money keeps them coming, seeing back. Now, I do have like 800 fucking chicks that want to cut my dick off, but whatever. We'll figure that out later. Okay?
You're fast. But, you can avoid them.
Yeah.
But so I'm leaving. I got my helicopter and all my pistols. We're leaving the island. And Bobby D runs up to me. He says, hey, man, you got any more heroes? Those pills? I said, dude, me casa, su casa, man.
Right.
Whatever you need, I got you, man. I got you. So 3 months later, I'm in Tribeca.
Mm-hmm.
My buddies, you know, two flankers, a few chicks, whatever. And I go over to say, hey, he owns Tribeca or part of it. I don't know. And so he's in the restaurant. Like, I say, hey, but there's an arrow over there. So I walk over to him and I say hi. He looks at me like I have a fucking, like I'm a redheaded stepchild. And like, I get it. So I walk back to the table. My friends say, What a dick. I can't believe it.
Right.
I said, what are you talking about? Well, what's he going to say? Hey, honey, remember here, this is Lenny. Remember, he got me all the blow and he got me all the pills. Like, he's not a dick. I mean, what do you want him to say?
Mm-hmm.
Of course he's going to treat me like that. But he knows and I know. And like, we had that look and I got him off, you know?
Hmm.
Right. Or I got him through the pain. Because no matter what anyone says.
When was this? When is this? What year is this?
Well, it was in the 2000s somewhere.
So, yeah.
They run together.
Right. Yeah. All of like 98 through like 2010, it just blends into me. Like, I can't recall.
No, 2008.
Right.
Because that's when the whole world ended. Thank you. I have this fucking compound I bought from Wayne Gretzky. I'm talking about a real compound, bro. Like four guest houses. And like at the end, when like I still got 50 mil. But I'm still like, I have no bank to pay my mortgage to. Like my bank, like Washington Mutual, like collapse.
Okay.
Like the world came to an end. Like nobody was like, so I'm like, it's all like collapsing on me, the whole thing. You know, like that guy Icarus, you know, that dude that reached that
food. The sun. Too close to the sun.
They gave him wings. You know, he said, be careful. If you fly too close to the sun, it's going to burn your, you know, you'll crash.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what were you doing personally at this point? Were you working at all? Were you doing your multiple investments?
Working, right. Of course, working, dude. I mean, I'm working. I'm 24/7, but while you're sleeping, I'm working.
Right, but what were you actually working?
But what were you working on then? The world was ending. Like, there was nowhere to work.
Right.
Like, I mean, I had a $50 million like note, and I couldn't get paper. I couldn't. So like, it's all collapsing, dude. And AIG, my partner for my magazine, I picked them for one reason. You know why? They're based in the world. They go bankrupt. Really? So I say, fuck it. I'm there, and the only person I allow in is my drug dealer. It's like The Shining with my boy Nicholson. Who's on, by the way, who's on my book.
Mm-hmm.
My editor said to me, you know, like I said to my editor, actually, I didn't know I ever wrote a book. And by the way, I wrote a New York Times bestselling book.
You did. We're going to get to that in a few minutes.
So if somebody would have said to me when I was playing, look, we're going to pay you $1 million, but you have to guess right. If you guess wrong, we're going to shoot you in the head. You're going to get bullet to the head. Okay, after your career, you're going to end up in prison, broke, and you're going to write a New York Times bestseller. You are going to write a New York Times. Really? Okay, like, that's so easy. Like, really? Like, what bet? What side are you gonna take on that one? But that's what happened, bro.
Right.
I mean, they put me in the cave for fucking almost 3 years.
And I wrote a book by myself. It took me 8 months. I mean, Thesaurus and I became good friends. Like, have you read my book?
I have read the first, I think I'm in the chapter of your book. It's ridiculous.
No, read the book, bro. It's good. You know why it's good? Because I told the fucking truth, dude.
When you were in jail, how were you writing the book? Were you just writing it? Like, did they give you time?
I didn't write the book in jail. I became banned. You're talking to a guy who never read a book in jail.
Right.
So, like, the guy next to me was in there for fucking, running the whole prison, the mafia, fucking Mexican mafia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. What prison was this, Lenny?
Oh, yeah, no, I have a lawsuit against him. L.A. County Men's Central Jail.
Okay.
30 of them are in prison. 30 of them are in jail. Right now. They knocked all my teeth out, so I talk funny. I mean, everyone thinks I'm fucked up. I'm not fucked up. What it is, they knocked all my teeth out. Yeah. I said to them, you better fucking kill me, motherfuckers. So, anyway, you can look that up later. But he said, hey, you're right over there. I said, I guess. I don't know. He said, you read? I said, no. He said, you better learn to read, man. You're going to do some hard time. So he slides the book over. I read it. I've also never jerked off my liver. I've never jerked off my life, bro.
Really?
Because, I'm very lucky. See, I had a Jewish doctor do my circumcision. And he told my mom, I gave your son a perfect cut, see. So PC, she named him. He didn't deserve to be whipped around like that. But in prison, in jail, like, what else are you going to do? So I have Benny Hanna in there, dude. I mean, like, all kinds of shit happened. I remember, it's a cage, too, dude. They wouldn't let me out. I couldn't go out with the people because they'll kill me, they said. Like, I said, what? Oh, yeah, they were murderers. They wanted to, like, say that you would kill celebrities. So I stayed in this cage for 2.5 years, dude. And
what kind of effect do you think that had on you?
Good effect.
A good one. Yeah, I heard you say that in an interview before. So what did it do?
The only thing, it made me realize how important or how valuable or how lucky and how fortunate like all of us are.
Right.
For time. Mm-hmm. Save time. See, no matter how much money we have, we can buy, like, I have friends and billionaires that can bought their way in and out of like, whatever, but you can't buy more time.
Right.
So it made me understand time, and actually, like, the biggest effect of all, though, was it made me realize what I did to my family, and that probably hurt and still hurts the most because, you know, my transgressions, they didn't deserve to suffer from. Mm-hmm. And I own that. And I talk to my kids every day. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not like, look, if I don't think I'm not proud of you, okay? Yeah, but did I do something where I deserve to be put in a cage for 3 years? No. But that's not here nor there. The issue is it happened? It happened. But I don't live back there. Okay. I learn from it. I go forward.
Right.
But it's different now. See, before, it was always about the touchdown. Okay. So now it's just about getting first down. I'm okay moving chains. You know?
So baby,
I don't need to throw the
little
bomb.
Steps going forward.
Yeah, I don't need to throw the bomb. You know? Before it was like money was my, it became my drug. It was crazy.
Right.
And so for me, every day above ground is a good fucking day.
No.
You know why?
Yep.
Tell us.
My best friend, or one of my dear friends, Darren Dalton.
Yeah. Mm.
Who was an awesome, awesome catcher.
Dutch.
I mean, awesome. Yeah, he's just a gamer. I mean, his numbers weren't spectacular, but he's the kind of guy you want in your foxhole, man. You want to go to war with, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's Sadly, what he's going through.
So he's gonna die any day.
That hurts, man.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, Scott said, like, Scott's a Mets
and
man.
And so, like, I'm, like, thinking, like here I am, like whining and worrying about, like that happened to me. Or this, I mean, this guy's going to be dead.
Right.
I mean, so it's like a wake-up call. And it makes you realize how blessed or fortunate, like, we are to be healthy and you know, so.
Well, that's something my father told me every day. Like, money can't buy you health, man. Be thankful you got your health. Because if you got your health, you got everything. That's what he used to always tell me every day. If you got your health, you got everything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when Dalton was a, you know, he's a gamer, man. He was, I mean, he lived longer, a year longer than he did. I mean, any day you'll hear him dying. So I'll be in Clearwater. And all the rest of the people are going to talk about, like, you know, all this and stuff. But I know my boy Dutch. He didn't want pity. So I'm going to tell a good pussy story.
All right.
Yeah, because that's, I know he'd want that thing.
You know what, Lenny? Tell me a good Dutchie story. And in the same vein, in the same remembrance, tell me a Dutchie and a the kid story. Gary Carter, another guy lost
too
early.
Oh, the kid, man.
Two guys too early. And you're also talking to
me, who's a
Mets fan, and Mike is a diehard Philly fan. So this is a really cool interview for us.
Gotcha. So the kid... I was fortunate enough to lock her next to him for, you know, 6 years.
Okay.
I watched this kid, like no pun intended, I watched this man, like, strap it on every night. He took no drugs. He lived right. He's a great husband, a great father.
Yep.
But a gamer, man. No pussy there, man. He's a fucking man. Mm. And so, like, he's the kind of guy you wonder your kid grew up to be like, you know? Which makes me wonder about this God thing, because, like, why would God take him when, like, he lived right and all of us are out there fucking and sucking and whatever it is. And, like, he dies. Like, the best guy. I'm just confused. So, but you start talking about religion, like, it's above my pay grade. You know, a lot of things are about my pay grade. But so kid was like, I crazy the way, like, all of a sudden his brain tumor. And I went to, I was on probation at the time. I had to get permission from my federal, you know, from the federal government to go to the funeral. And so I paid my respects and, you know, he had a great wife, Sandy, and so it was a privilege and honor to be a teammate of Gary Carter, because he was a man, a real man. I mean, he did all that shit without drugs, and he's like I said, the kind of guy you want your kid to grow up with. Now Dalton, remember, he had a bunch of ACL injuries, I mean, like, surgeries. They said he never play again, this and that. He fought through that shit, though, man.
Right.
Okay. And in 93, when it all came together, we all blended, he was the leader, man. He was a vocal leader. See, I led by example. See, Dalton was the vocal guy, you know? He was a guy that Fergusi trusted to, like, you know, be the voice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And tough motherfucker, man. I mean, tough. And I'll tell you, a story, man. Like, so John Kruk has a bachelor party, like, whatever they call it, I don't know what it is. And
okay,
whatever, you before you get married, you know. And so I just bought this brand new Benz. It just came out. It's like a SL, you know. I mean, and we're living in the suburbs in Villanova.
Early 90s, 94.
Yeah, 91.
Oh, 91, okay.
Yeah, so I hit 325, I'm in like 340. And we leave, I have these, you know, obviously the pussy guy is falling. It's his analogy with pussy. I mean, this is our role. Mm. Yeah. I mean, let's just call it like it is.
Right.
And so I'm in my Benz and like it's dark out and I'm not hammered, but I'm not like, I'm just like very, like a little buzz, you know?
Right.
And like my car, like I have to make a left-hand turn and like it's real dark in the suburbs out there in Villanova. A lot of Lucky Sperm Club members out there, by the way. And the fucking car starts hydroplaning, dude.
Okay.
Next thing I know, my car, my Benz,
okay.
It's like hydroplaning. I hit the brakes and it's just missing. It was kind of misty, raining. And the car starts spinning. And next thing I know, like, somebody's pushing me, like, saying, are you all right? Are you alive? Or whatever. I'm on the ground, like, in the middle of the road. And Dalton's down the other end of the road. And like, we're in the police station. And these cops are such fans, they let us fucking go.
Oh my God.
Holy
crap. So, like, let me tell you how tough this motherfucker was. So, we're walking out. Now, the shock's wearing off, okay? And I'm not a pussy either, okay? But I couldn't take it. I looked at him. I said, dude, call me a pussy, whatever you want to do. But if I don't go to the hospital right now, I'm going to die. And he said, me too. But he made me crack first, not him. He wasn't cracking first.
Oh, my God.
He was fighting through that shit. So I ended up in there for 3 weeks. So he and, like, and we were lucky to be alive after that.
And what kind of injuries did you sustain?
I mean, I broke every lung. I mean, every rib. I punctured every lung. Oh, and all the bones in my face, my heart, and all kinds of crazy shit. It was bad. And they said if we weren't on... See, no. Not to be an advocate for steroids, but if we weren't on the shit, we wouldn't have ever lived. Because we were so strong, we didn't get like a normal person. The impact would have killed them.
No shit. Really?
See, so whoever says steroids are bad, fuck you.
No way. Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow. What a story, man.
Serious, yeah. Because, you know, seatbelts. You don't wear seatbelts back. It's 1991.
Yeah.
Yeah, so me and Dalton, man, like he's my brother, you know. I take a bullet for him. Mm. And he for me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a tough time right now with him because, like, he's fought through this shit, man. Like he was supposed to die a year ago. And... Right. But it's imminent now, any day, you know, and the Phillies, they asked me to write something, you know, and again, you know, it takes me a long time to write, you know, like, and so I had to get real serious, and because this is serious, this is,
yeah.
Like, so I it took me 3 days, you know, to write what I wrote, and I put together some words that that mean a lot to me, you know, and not to get sentimental or not to be, I'm not a pussy or nothing, but I mean, my friend's gonna die, you know?
Dude, there's nothing soft about that, dude. When you have a true friend and you see them going through that.
They asked me, they called me up like 3 days, 4 or 5 days, I don't know, whatever, 4 days ago, and said they want, you know, me and my crook, and you know, his close teammates write something about him. And so I said, no problem. I said, give me, you know, a couple of days. And so what I did is I put together, again, you know, I mean, this is truth, you know, it's all real. I mean, what I'm saying is, I'm not selling anything, okay? It's like real.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, about, you know, Dalton, and again, I'm probably getting out there a little too quick, but, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, Dalton, I mean, like, I've cried 3 times in my life, you know? Right. First one was when, like, my mom wouldn't let me play because I was, like, 7 years or 8 years old, like, and I had a fever, and, like, the late games, you would miss it. Second one was when I don't know. I mean,
when we asked you to do an interview,
no, yeah, because no, never from my daddy spank me. You know, like right. I just I'm wrong. I used to say, "Hey, are you done yet, Dad? Let me know when you're done."
Jesus,
he didn't like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like, I was fucking grinding through that shit. And the third time I was when I was in Israel, get off of opiates. But anyway, so Dalton. And by the way, like, they don't call you up and say, you know, any day now. It's not any day, you know?
Right.
So what I wrote is the Philadelphia Phillies family in the world of baseball have lost a warrior. I played with several tough dudes in my career, but Dutch was the toughest. He was an unquestionable leader of our magical 1993 Phillies team that went from last to first, thereby energizing the city of Philadelphia. His unrelenting toughness had a dramatic effect on the mindset with which we all played. Much of Dutch's career was spent in Philadelphia, whereby the team often finished at or near the bottom of the standings. However, that all changed in 1993. We had a feeling in spring training that something was different. Something was going to be special, and it proved to be right. Our motley crew of characters, given virtually no chance by the prognosticators, swaggered our way to the World Series. Dutch was always the rock, the guy who steadied the ship. Jim Fregosi entrusted him to keep us focused and together. Dutch did not disappoint. It's ironic that I'm now sharing my memories during this sad time. The reality is that Dutch couldn't stand me, a common feeling amongst many of those who were not my teammates. Nonetheless, when I was traded to the Phillies, we became brothers almost immediately. While we had been with the Phillies for a few years, he became a star in 1989, John Kruk, Dave Collins, all joined the team. Catcher's characteristics are the coach on the field. Dutch was more than that. He was our anchor, our leader, ensuring that our focus was always between the lines when we played. His stewardship and incredible toughness were the inspiration that magical year in 1993 when we put it all together and made baseball fun again in Philadelphia. It was a privilege to have known him and to play with him. I will miss him. Lenny Dykstra.
Wow, man.
Jesus, Lenny. Like, oof. Wow.
I mean,
is it beautiful and poetic? Go ahead, Mike. I mean.
Just, it's from the heart, bro. You know?
It is.
It's from the heart. I mean, that's my words. You know, no ghostwriter, no bullshit, no fucking, you know. That's heart right there. It's all the truth, you know?
Yeah.
And like, not to, like, you know, get all. Like I said, I'm not a pussy, man. Like, I'm not afraid of any man.
Nothing to do with that, man.
Okay, but like, I mean, he's gonna die. He's gonna die. Mm-hmm. And like, well, I'm not here. Like, we're complaining about this or that, or we got problems. No, man. No, man. Problems, real problems, are when you're gonna be put in a box. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it just makes me like wonder and like and think and like. Okay, bad things have happened. I made some bad decisions, but you know what? I'm gonna learn from them. I'm gonna get better, and I can help people. I can give people some hope, you know. Yeah. If I can give people hope, because like, you know, before they put me in the ground, I don't want them to like have to say something about you. I want them to say like he helped people. And that's where I'm at right now, you know. I'm giving people hope, because if I can fucking fight through what I fought through, and come out the other end, then they can, you know.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, it's all about results. Lip service is bullshit. No poor me's. No fucking this. Don't blame anyone else. Own it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I own it. Okay. Yeah. But you know what? What happened, I can't change. I can only go forward. And that's where I'm at in my life right now. But now, that being said, I still get more pussy than God. I mean, that's just who I am.
Well,
I mean, I'm actually a fucking artist, like Picasso, you know.
Well, that was a beautiful statement, what you said. I mean, kind of going to what we were saying earlier, like Scott being a Mets fan, me being originally from Morrisville by Philadelphia, I've always said the same thing. All the Phillies fans, we love 2008, getting that title, yeah, seeing that parade,
mm-hmm,
finally like breaking since nice. 1980.
But it wasn't the same, bro.
But that's my point. I will always argue to people, no Phillies team will be more loved than that 93 team. That was...
Dude, of course. Fucking flipped that city upside down,
no,
dude.
It was...
And we were on a mission of mercy. Nobody wanted to play us, dude. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
They knew. I was a fucking chemist, dude.
No, well, I mean,
no one needed to go to a fucking pharmacy. I filled any prescription needed.
No, Lenny, you've been part of, just in this little East Coast region, you've been part of arguably... If exclude the Yankees out of it, you've been part of two of the most iconic teams in baseball. You always had a way of playing.
It's a privilege and an honor, man. Mm-hmm. I get on my knees every day, and I thank God for a couple things. Whatever God that is, I don't know. Again, I'm kind of confused about that, but. Like, I know that no dude wants to wake up next to another dude's hairy ass. Okay? He doesn't choose that shit. He can't. Like, when you got a beautiful fucking, like, girl, like sometimes I sit back and I look, and it's like, wow, what a fucking gift, man. Thank you, God. You know? And it's the same thing about, like, my career. Like, I had to play in Philadelphia and New York, man. Two toughest cities in fucking... Like Larry King said, they'd boo a cure for cancer in Philadelphia. But see, I loved it. I thrived on it. And the fans loved me because I wasn't a pretty boy. I wasn't supposed to make it. I was too small, this and that. But I fought through that shit, okay? Just like I told my kid last night. No, my kid. He plays with the Cardinals, okay? And he's 21. We all want our kids to, like, grow up good and, like, you live a good life. But, see, the problem with that is they don't have that, like the work ethic. Like, because remember.
That sixth gear. Last gear.
Yeah. And I said to him, I said, Luke, I want you to remember what you feel right now. Because I told you this offseason and last offseason, I told you. I'm here for you any day you want. You come and I'll hit with you. I'll show you how to hit. I mean, I did lead the National League in hits two separate years. I mean, like, yep. There's only one person in the fucking world that can say that. Okay?
And he's on the cast now.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I said, look, you never came once. And so I want you need to remember what you feel right now. Because you don't ever want to be in this position again. You don't ever want to be in a position where you look back and say, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have done this. I wish that. No. No. Because you have more talent than me. You're 6'2", 200. You have the instincts that I had, but you got to work.
Right.
Everything you do should be finished with this question. If I do this, will it make me a better baseball player? And if the answer is no, don't do it.
Lenny, do you see the game now? You have a kid within the game, and you watch the game.
There's a Phillies calling me right now. Look at the Phillies right here. I must have died. Hold on.
The Phillies are calling.
Yeah, out. Debbie.
Lenny, what the hell are you doing?
What happened?
We were talking to somebody in Grant. We want to just be prepared. We don't want to say we're collecting stuff.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. So Dalton, he might live through all this.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, he had a really good day.
Okay, so I didn't say he's dead or nothing.
I know you didn't, but you read the quote. And I don't want people thinking that
Okay, you got it. No worries. Okay. No, I understand, but I know he's very close. It's Tony Perry called me.
But I just don't want people to know what we're doing.
Well, I mean, it's just... Oh, okay, I'm sorry. But Tony Perry called me and said, like, any day.
I know, well, don't...
Okay.
Don't read stuff.
Okay, got you. You know what I mean? Got you, okay. Yeah. All right. Wow, what a fucking trip.
Oh, boy.
See, hey, dude, the pussy, see, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Wow.
No. Yeah. They...
Wow.
Are you guys in on this? Did you guys call her?
No, because our only phone is tied up talking to you right now.
Well, I got three phones, so I got all kinds of... One's a bad phone. That's for pussy. Okay, one. Hold on.
I hope that's not on Verizon, though, because we just talked about that.
One's a bad phone.
A bad phone.
And one's a business phone, and one's like real phone, like
an everyday phone.
But she called a business phone. See, the bad phone, that motherfucker was off at will.
Jeez.
There's the only pussy on that phone.
No.
But anyways,
you are fucking hilarious.
I'm not trying to be. I'm just being honest. Like,
but
that's what's more hilarious.
That's what's more hilarious.
Yeah, I'm not like trying to. This ain't fake. I mean,
obviously not.
She called me up. You heard it. Like, I didn't make that up. I didn't see Debbie. I'm doing an interview with these guys, and call me at this time. Like, I mean, you told me that he's dying. He's gonna die like any day, and he's gonna I don't know. I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to like I'm talking about my friend, man. Like he's gonna die any day.
Yeah. Mm.
So what are they trying to do? Like upstage me? They want to have the first quote out? What is it? Like I'm not into that shit, man. Yeah. I don't. That's why they don't want me back there. You know. I mean, plus I wouldn't go back there because they're fucking bad. It's terrible. It's embarrassing. Mm. I mean, it's a fuck day. What kind of nice product to put on the field?
Yeah,
give this fucking season ticket holder their money back.
So I was saying before that phone call, you have a son playing baseball, and you've been around baseball forever. Do you still enjoy the game? And I see some of your videos online, and like what you think about it. If you don't enjoy the game, what do you think is like wrong with it now? What's changed?
A lot's changed, my man. A lot's changed. Number one, the biggest change, and by the way, I mean, I'm happy for the players to make as much money as they can. But the guaranteed contracts have put players in position where they're more powerful than their employer. Meaning, like, let's
take
the Mets, okay?
It's like the NBA.
Let's take the Mets. You got this fucking motherfucker name or whatever, Cespedes, whatever, I don't know his first name, whatever he is, Cespedes, okay? Whatever, doesn't matter. He's a dog fucking then, he's a dog now. They give this fucking guy 100 fucking plus million. And he says, in fact, the other night, he's one hit away from the fucking cycle. All he needs is a single. He pulls himself out of the game. What the really?
I know.
Because you know why? Because he can.
It's true.
That's why the managers
are
push button. They're push button managers now. You don't see. There's no. Think about it. Look at the managers. No Lupinellas. No one engages. They're all push button. It's like. I mean, I think the Mets are going to wear new uniforms next year and wear skirts. You know, it's like what happened to fucking
blue
like,
top orange skirt?
Like what happened to winning, man? And like what happened to fucking going to war? And like every night, you know, like when I finished playing, I used to go and sit in my front of my locker, like soon the game would end. I'd sit there for just 2 minutes to myself and I'd say, if I were a fan, would I pay money to watch you play tonight? You know, I judge myself. And the answer was yes, every night except one.
What night was that?
Oh, dude, that was a trip, bro. So at the end of my career, like, you know, Bergosi was giving me Sunday day games off after night, Saturday night games, you know?
Okay.
So we're in Florida. I think I know this one. Yeah, you have to know. Okay, I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I'm watching this dog take a shit right now on like the sidewalk of like Park Avenue. It was ugly, actually. And you know what? The bitch didn't even pick up at the shit. Like, you get in trouble for that shit around here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, no pun intended. But back on point. So I walk in on Sunday after I'm fucking hammered. I'm violated. I'm like, so I know I'm off Sunday. And I look at the lineup and I'm leading off. I'm, oh my fucking God. Oh my fucking God. And like the manager's office is right there too. And Bergosi looks at me like, see, because Bergosi, he knew. He walked down the roads I walked down. He's been down them paths. See? And so he said, want to stick it up our ass. I said, what the? I said, I'm like, I can't do it. I can't, like, it don't matter what kind of drugs I got. There's no way. So I'm like thinking, I'm panicking. I'm like, wait a second. Come on, Lenny. You always got to figure it out. You always got an answer. You always got to figure it out. You always had the curve. What are you going to do? I got it. I'm going to get a run. I'm going to get myself thrown out of the game. So umpire is Eric Gregg.
Brilliant.
Eric Gregg.
Brilliant.
Eric Gregg.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know who's pitching, whatever, in Florida. It's fucking about 180 fucking degrees out there.
Mm-hmm.
Digging. I fucking barely could walk to the box. Guy throws a pitch right down the middle. I said, you fucking fat motherfucker. Fucking have another fucking cheeseburger. I'm going off on him. And he says, Lenny, I already know it. Jimmy already told me.
Jimmy said, already told me.
In the sun for 2.5 hours, you're going to be out in the sun for 2.5 hours. I look in the dugout, and Rose gives me that little fucking grin.
Oh, my God. That's the funniest thing ever.
Oh, yeah. He knew my plan.
That's the best thing ever. Dude, how was it
fielding?
Yeah, but
it was not the best thing ever. I actually hit a double, like my third at bat. And I got to second, and I couldn't get air.
Dude, but how was it? How was it playing defense? How was it playing defense?
No, fuck the defense. Fuck the defense. I thought I was going to die. Like, I couldn't get air. Because, like, I took so much shit. Like, I'm saying to myself, like, has anybody died after they hit a double? Like, don't die out here, motherfucker. Breathe. You know, you start panicking, you know? And, like, I still vividly remember it. And the shortstop says to me, all right. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I'm like, and, like, I got my breath again. And I made it. I'm still here. But, like, I thought I was going to, like, die out there, dude. Like, I mean, you either die. Like, if you're going to die, like, die hitting a double or die fucking one of the two, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but I'm still above ground. And
dude, that's a funny story, man.
It is. It's just Bergosi knew. He's so sharp, man. But you know what's funny is, like, I'd be coming in, like, you know, after getting, like, see, on the road is when you have your fun. On the home, you charge your batteries. So on the road, like at 5 in the morning, I'd be coming, 6 in the morning, I'd be coming back to the team motel. I never say team motel because really? Come on. They're fucking amateurs. Okay? And I'm coming back, and like the coaches are all going like breakfast. And I'm coming in, they're going like, and they're like,
oh,
but
boy.
Guess what? I got 2 hits, I scored 3 runs, and no problem. Because we live in a world that's called results.
Hmm.
You get the results, everything's okay. Now, you don't get the results, you got problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I got the results. But at the end, hold on. That's Trump.
Donald Trump's calling?
Yeah, hold on.
Bring him in.
No. Let me just say, I'll get back to you. Okay. I actually had this accent. Fuck him. But I'm glad he's the fucking president instead of that fucking crazy bitch. You know that?
Yeah.
I mean, I was moving to fucking Somalia if that bitch won.
Yeah, I don't even know what the answer is to that question.
There is no answer, dude.
There is no answer. You know what the answer
There's
is?
No answer.
Be yourself
and
ignore
them. They're killers. They're killers.
Ignore them.
Yeah.
Fucking Hillary Clinton, the president. Dude, I would have said, keep me in prison for life. I mean, really?
Mm.
I'd like to wake up. No wonder fucking Bill fucking went and got a knob and head and fucking sucking, get his dick sucked ever. Like, how'd you like to wake up next to that bitch every morning?
Lenny, I got to ask you something. By the way,
Monica Lewinsky's the direct DMing me on Twitter.
Really?
And I said, hey, do it. No Ben Crank here. No Ben Crank here. I swear on everything I love, man.
Lenny, I got to ask you something. I read the funniest story. It is the story about you and the dog.
They took my fucking dog, man.
Dude, the dog, when you were offered money, you got to tell that story in person rather than on print, man.
You're talking about my fucking German Shepherd.
The one that you offered money for and won the bet?
Yeah, well, I didn't win the bet. I just kept paying. I just kept going up, so the bitch couldn't say no.
Yeah, yeah. All right, give us some background on that.
I see three cops in the corner. Hold on. I see three cops in the corner, but I didn't do anything. I'm just on the phone, right?
Yeah.
You're okay, Lenny.
You're cool. You're with us. You ain't going back. Don't worry.
We got you.
Yeah, okay. There they are. It's like Goodfellas. Remember Goodfellas? Hey, who's that? Remember, the guys are reading the lips. So I kept talking. Who's that guy? Anyways, so I'm in Germany. You know, so they fucking make the fucking German Shepherds. I love German Shepherds.
Hell yeah.
So I'm with my wife, and I say, hey, look at that fucking lady with that beautiful German Shepherd right there walking, like, wherever they're in the suite, you know, looking down. And I said, you know what? I'm in Germany. That's a fucking beautiful term. I'm going to buy that motherfucker. I'm going to get it right now. She says, you're out of your fucking mind. Not fucking. My wife never cuss. But she said, you're out of your mind. But she said it a lot. Okay? So I run down to the concierge. And I say, listen, come on, man. Come with me. They don't understand. They kind of do. You know, they have the half English. And I say, come on, man. You got to help me. So they're asking what. I said, catch up this lady. I want that fucking dog. So we get to the lady, and they say, okay, what do you want to say? I said, tell her I'll give her 10 grand for a dog right now. And I hear him, like, cuss, like the lady, like, talking, like, no, them crowds, man. Those crowds are fucking, you know, they're sharp, man, them crowds. But she went selling her dog, and I said, what did she say? Basically, she said, like, roundabout way, you're out of your fucking mind. I said, really? Let's see how out of mind I am. I said, okay, you tell her my wife wants to see the dog, and she can just walk it back to the lobby, and we can just, like, look at it, and we don't want to buy it, da-da-da. So she bites on that. So once they get her in, they can't get out. See, dude. Once I suck them in, they can't get out. Okay. So we get her back, and my wife is nowhere around, by the way. She's out of my fucking mind.
Right.
And so 10 went to 20. This thing was just like quick. 30, 40, 50. Kept going. 75 grand. The lady finally took it.
75 grand.
Yeah, but listen, man. Listen. Listen to the thrust of the story. Here's, because when you use money the wrong way, meaning money is like important. We all need money to live. But when you use money in the wrong way, okay? So she told me where to pick it up next day. And I go, and there's fucking 1,000 dogs that look just like my dog. She trained the fucking German fucking police dogs.
Oh my god.
I could have got that dog for $200 fucking dollars. See, that's I should have learned then. That's when money is like, it can be the devil. Because, and the last laugh is on me, you know? So, anybody out there listening, be careful with those crowds, man. Those fuckers are smart, man.
Advice from, like, can you call in weekly and do a weekly advice from Lenny? Well, be careful with those crowds.
Well, I gotta tell my ticks, okay? Like, I gotta tell my pussy. Okay, here's the deal. As long as you're okay, like, you have to be able to laugh, be happy, like, have fun,
mm-hmm.
not worry about money, not be controlled, and you get to see God. Can you handle that?
I think we could.
That's my fucking, that's who I am. That's where I'm at. And you know why?
Tell
what
us.
Am I going to do? Fucking pout? Oh, poor me. I was in the fucking cave. I went to jail. Oh.
Right.
Fuck that shit, man.
It's over.
I'm all man here, man. You know, fucking, yeah, I might live in California. All them fucking crazy fucking fruits and nuts out there in Hollywood. But I ain't, there's no fucking pussy here, dude. I'm all man.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. No, Lenny.
I'm a missionary man. I gotta tell my chicks, don't tell me to pull your fucking hair. Don't tell me to choke you. You put your finger near my ass or break it fucking off, okay? But you're gonna know you got fucked tonight, okay? And there's gonna be a period where you're gonna say, I can't feel my toes. But it'll come back. You'll be all right.
Wow.
No, oh, no,
like, I have these dick pills, dude. These dick pills are fucking, they're unbelievable. Because what happened to the blood, man? You get older, you're like, it's not flowing anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like humiliating, dude. Mm. And like, so now I got these fucking dick pills, man. Fucking the kangaroos, bro. Make Viagra look like a redheaded stepchild. kangaroo and a cocktail, and I can fuck, and I can fuck, and like, and, but I can't come because like I think I'm out of bullets. Yeah, you know, if I do come, it's like dust, like poof. Anyway, sorry to get off point. Anyways, the Phillies suck right now.
Yeah.
Okay, the Mets suck right
they
now.
They do.
Sandy Alderson, like. Like, okay, Sandy, like, we know you invented the game and everything, but you're old. Like, I used to be a good player, but I'm old. I can't play anymore. Like, you're old. Retire, motherfucker. Okay? I mean, like, nice product out there. Like, the Mets fans hate the product. And why wouldn't they?
Because it sucks.
It's the exact opposite of what they want to see. See, they got the milk and cookies, you know? It's all milk and cookies, man.
Mm.
Yep.
Like somebody fucking gets some, like,
it's numbers.
The Phillies,
that's all it
the
is.
Phillies, I don't know what the Phillies, I mean, you know, you had Ruben Tomorrow, who fucked that whole team up, took them a while to get recovered, you know, and, but, like, I do these recaps every night with the Mets, which I do right now, by the way.
Yep.
And I'm going to bury him, by the way, again. Because why haven't they called up the first baseman?
Yeah, Dom Smith.
Fuck, he hit 340.
Rosario tomorrow.
340. They finally called Rosario by default because there's no other shortstops.
Yep.
Like, really?
I know.
So I buried
him
last night. Last night I buried him. I had 25,000 hits on my fucking Facebook. And so it probably killed Alderson. The fucking, like, because everyone thinks, like, I said, like, why the fuck is Rosario not up? And he calls him up today. Suck on that, Sandy.
Hell yeah. Fucker. Get him, Lenny. Get him.
But, you know why? You know why?
Tell us.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Lenny,
you've been where
that,
I've been.
That is
what
obvious.
I've seen, and you've been where I've been, seen what I've seen, know what I know. It doesn't matter.
Dude, Lenny, you are the goddamn man, first off.
Mm-hmm.
And second off, tell us, before we get out of here, tell us about your book, man. Tell us where we can get it. What it's about,
Amazon,
why people should
Amazon
read it.
Amazon or HarperCollins, they're like the mafia too, by the way.
Call
I sold
out,
like
Lenny. Get them all!
Fucking books. And like these guys, they got it so rigged up. I had to buy my own fucking pictures, you know. So, but there's some great pictures in there. Like, there's one of me and my man Straw, and I say, AKA Soul Pole. See, this motherfucker was hung like a swamp mule, bro.
Wow.
It was traumatizing.
We went and saw him speak like a year ago.
Fucking 6 years, bro. I mean, I had that therapy, two years of therapy to get over it.
And keep you afloat, though, in a
no,
storm.
No, but like I said, dude, like, I'm not a fag. You know I'm not a fag, Straw. But can you get that all the way in? You can't. No, he said no. And also, I said, like, can the blood, like, flow to the end? Can you get it hard all the way? Because, like, that blood's got to flow a long fucking way, man. And he said no. So...
okay.
But what's even weirder is I got a fucking direct the DM from this Ron Jeremy, who makes Strawberry look like a child. And he says his manager wants to do a fucking show. So he got a show. So he wants me to star The Art of Eating Pussy.
Oh my God.
I said, what? Like, But I am an artist, bro. Just know that.
Dude, we
but
get
before
that.
I can do my artwork, the canvas has got to be clean. It's got to be clean. Picasso can't paint. He can't do his artwork on the canvas. It's got to be clean. If it's not, I say, you see that door? You turn the handle to the left. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you see them exit signs? Follow them. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No red paint. Not for Lenny.
No, man, come on. Like, odors and all that shit. Like, I can't go to a massage parlor. Like, Chinese people or whatever they are, I don't know what they are. They're all the same to me. Oh. They get them, you know, the bad breath and the odors. And, like, I couldn't take it. I left. I said, like, I'm done. No finish. I said, no, you're fucking finished. Keep the money.
So tell us about the book, man. Tell us about the book before we get out of here.
The book, let me tell you about the book. It's a book about a baseball player. Okay.
Nameless.
But it's not a book about baseball per se.
No.
It's a book about life, man. And you know what? I poured my heart and soul in that motherfucker. 8 months, man, I locked myself in a room, blood on the fucking keyboard. Picture it. I ain't no writer. I fucking fought through that shit, man. Me and Thesaurus became best friends, man. Blood on the fucking keyboard, space plants every fucking night. 8 months, man, it took me to write that motherfucker. I told my editor, man, who's a badass, by the way, baddest ass in the land.
Right.
And Peter Hubbard, like a year into the book, I said, Peter, I got some, there's going to be some changes. I fired my ghostwriter. I'm writing the motherfucker myself.
Hell yeah.
And I got quiet, and I said, but Peter, listen to me, man. Stick with me. You fucking stay behind me. I'll fucking get you a bestseller. I fucking will get you a bestseller. And he fucking stayed there, man. He stayed there, and he fought with me. And guess what? New York Times bestseller.
Congrats.
I mean, Lenny Dykstra.
Congratulations,
New York Times
pal.
I had to fuck my English teacher to fucking pass English.
Dude,
that's not a joke, by the way.
I don't put a thing past you that you say, because you know what, like, you speak the truth, man. And
hey, let me tell you,
and the truth ain't always pretty.
It ain't always pretty. You know what? Let's call this game of life, man. We're in this game called life, and all these people see 80% of them. The guy, he gets up, he goes to work, takes orders from somebody, hates his job, back in his car in traffic, back to his miserable wife, eats her shitty food, they don't fuck, get up in the morning and do it again. And that's their life. Because they don't have the balls to fucking take a fucking risk. See? So they want what I have. That's why you get the haters. But see, they don't have the fucking balls to risk it, man. Mm. Take a chance, fucking go after it. Now, I don't recommend like going down the path I went down in prison and like pissing in a cup for 3 years. Like,
Right.
Coming off an airplane, and like the probation officer's waiting for me, and like, and by the way, when I piss in that cup, they watch you whip out your dick. Oh, and yeah. I said, like, that's all I got, man. That's it. There's no blood flow. That's it. That's all I'm bringing to the party right now.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know what? My shit, my program beat the fuck out of AA 7 days a week, twice on fucking Sunday. Because you can't take a newcomer chip on my program. Mm-hmm. No. You're going back and start over. Like my PO, he said, hey, I like you. He said, you make my job easy. I said, well, maybe because I'm not a fucking criminal. How's that? He said, but let me tell you something. You can party with chicks, you can whatever, and if you get away with it, you get away with it. But if you time it wrong and you come up negative or positive, I'm calling the federal marshals and you're going back to prison, you're starting your sentence over.
Wow.
So like drugs became like it was like, that was easy. Like, so I recommend these people that have drug problems to go to like prison? No, not really. But like I said, my program beat the fuck out of AA 7 days a week. AA's a pity party. Come on, hugging each other.
Yeah.
You know, and like, okay, newcomer shit, everyone claps. What are they clapping for?
Yeah.
I mean, but whatever it takes, though. Like, I'm not like my boy Charlie, you know, frowning. If it works, it works. Whatever it takes. Okay? So, I mean, I don't take drugs. I don't do anything anymore, you know?
Right.
I get women off. That's what I do.
That's your drug. Mm. But, Lenny, I want to thank you so much for giving me and Mike time. You were a big staple in both of our, like, upbringing as far as sports. You are honest. You are open. You are edgy. You don't give a crap what people think about you, and you tell it like it is, and that's the best part of it. I want to thank you so much for giving me some time.
You got it. You know what? So when you call me and you ask me to do it, like, I have, like, 10 people call me a day for podcasts or whatever.
Right.
And, like, I know where they're going, okay? And I don't know you guys. I didn't know you guys talked to me today, and we DM'd each other, and I said, you know what? I feel good. My instincts have always been good. I said, these guys are gonna be solid, man. I said, you know what? I'm gonna give my time. You know why? There might be someone out there that hears one thing I say. See, one thing that might help them. Like I see, like I see players when I was playing, like the batting coach would like give them tips and like tell them things and they wouldn't listen.
Right.
I say, you dumb motherfucker. I say, what do you think you're that good? Mm-hmm. What if he says one thing that helps? Let the rest go in one ear, out the other.
Yep.
You lose the fucking ego, man.
Oh, 100%.
You know?
Totally agree.
Lose the ego. But dude, I'm a weak man, though, bro. I'm a weak man. A pussy is just, it makes you make bad decisions. You know what I mean?
100%, mm-hmm. Man.
100%. Yeah. Well, empires have fallen, bro.
Yeah.
But
hey, so call me back next week, and I'll tell you how many times I heard, I can't believe I'm doing this. You know, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I'd be a billionaire.
Lenny, we will definitely call you in the future, and this episode will probably be up tomorrow. I want to thank you so much, man, and good luck with everything you got going on. You speak the truth, and you're a good guy, man.
You guys are awesome, man. I just I just want people to understand, like, I'm not perfect. I made plenty of mistakes. I'm not proud of things I've done, but you know what? Every day I try to get better. You know,
100%.
And that's all you can do is you can take one day at a time. And just be glad that, like, every day I'm above ground is a good fucking day.
And go buy his book, goddammit. Go exactly. Buy the book. Go buy the book.
Yeah, man. Buy that book because you know why? It's fucking good.
Exactly.
And I'm saying that I don't like to brag or anything, but, I mean, there's only one hitter, like they've been playing baseball a long time, right?
Yep.
Hundreds of years. Like, Ty Cobb, Sam Usual, Lou Gehrig. Only one left-handed hitter in the history of the game could go to the plate, meaning the most plate appearances in the history of baseball. That's a good trivia question. The last fucking motherfucker I'm going to say is Lenny Dykstra.
Lenny Dykstra.
I'm the best.
And you know what? There's only one player that was my favorite player.
Say that, dude.
Lenny Dykstra.
You know that? There's only one person in the world that can say that. Me. So fuck all of you. Fuck Babe Ruth. Fuck Ty Cobb. Fuck them all.
Hell yeah, Lenny. Yeah. All right, Mike Berlew. Lenny Dykstra.
Wow, man. I can't believe for that.
Arguably the biggest guest we ever had. It's close. I mean, it doesn't matter. There might be like a tie.
I mean, why rank them? I mean, exactly. Hell, it's just an honor to talk.
We all know Mike Berlew's number one.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
It's so sweet.
You know, Duh Pearls on the podcast.
I don't, after that, I don't want to like go any longer. And I just want to say, Berlew, anything to promote?
I guess I'll just do the Facebook page. Facebook.com/TheBurl721, my comedy page. Been working on some stuff to come out this summer. I always share at the show. And Walking Dead and Pumpkin Spice Whatever, some of my classic stuff.
All right.
Facebook.com/TheBurl721.
Yeah, and before we get out of here, there's a couple things. Guys, we have nice new blue t-shirts. Mike Berlew, you haven't taken one yet. It's right down below your feet. Nice blue t-shirts, $15. Shit, if you have $12, just message me. I'll send you one.
You got a deal, people.
Yep. Yeah, so you just got a coupon. You know, the coupon is listening to this episode, mm-hmm. and I guarantee this is an episode to listen to. But I'm just going to promote. I'm going to be at John and Peter's in New Hope on August 24th, which is always one of my favorite shows. What you can do for the podcast is listen to it, obviously, first and foremost, but then share with your friends. And the third thing you can do is leave a review on iTunes, because that really spikes the numbers up. And trust me, we've been seeing little spikes in the numbers. We'll have a week where we didn't promote as much, and the numbers are still pretty good.
Yeah,
so
man.
We appreciate that, guys. You guys are the best. We love you.
We
love doing this, and we'll be back. But life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.